Welcome to another episode of the PFF College Football Show. Max Chadwick alongside Dalton Wassman here. So if you're watching this, the national championship game just ended. We're recording this before the national title game, obviously. When you're watching this, we'll probably still be in Mercedes-Benz Stadium at this point. Listen, most college football content creators would, after the national title game, step back, take a breather, take some time off before you start previewing the next year. We're not doing that here on the PFF College Football Show. We have a way too early top 25 heading into next season to give you guys right now. We spent a couple days kind of going over it, Dawn. I'm very excited to release it to people now.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, it's always fun to project, you know, who's staying and going for each team, especially now. And, you know, you try to find those teams who figure out, okay, we just built our roster through the portal, say, like in Indiana this year, who we thought we were pretty optimistic on, maybe not to the point that they'd get to the playoff, but finding teams and scoping through the talent and what they have. And that's really what it's about, is talent speculation and what they've brought in. But I think we have some similar contenders next year that we're going to have this year, just with some different circumstances.
Absolutely. So I want to remind you guys, you know, a lot of the reasons why we put this top 25 together and how we put it together is using PFF exclusive stats. You can find them all at subscribe.pff.com. Get best mock draft simulator on the planet as well, best betting tools, best fantasy tools. But for the PFF way too early top 25, a lot of it is built around all of the premium stats that we have in college football. So if you want to get all access to those premium stats, subscribe.pff.com is the perfect place to do it. All right, start off at the bottom of this list and work our way up all the way to number one. Start off with number 25 to 21. Number 25, Michigan. After having an 8-5 record this past season, they beat Alabama in the ReliaQuest Bowl. They are at number 25. Auburn at number 24, who had a 5-7 year this year, Dalton, but a lot of reasons for optimism for the Auburn Tigers going into next year. Number 23 is Iowa State. They are one game away from making the college football playoff with an 11-3 record, the most wins in program history. They are at number 23. Number 22 is Missouri with another 10-win season. They were 10-3 this year. And at number 21 is Kansas State, who finished the year 9-4. I feel like Kansas State every year is somewhere around number 21 or 22 in the preseason ranking. They probably finish there every year as well. So pretty safe bet to put Kansas State somewhere around there as well. What stands out to you, though, that 25-21 range?
I think a team that you and I had a lot of arguments about, and that's the Auburn Tigers, right? Coming off a 5-7 season, but thinking about, okay, look at the talent that they brought in here, and maybe, look, we know with Hugh Freeze they can run and stop the run, even though they're losing Jarquez Hunter to the NFL draft. But I think the optimism here, especially around Jackson Arnold, who's going to be their quarterback next year, transferring in from Oklahoma, and Eric Singleton from Georgia Tech, who's one of the best receivers in the country, put him alongside Cam Coleman in that receiving core, and now we feel like, okay, this is the year where maybe Auburn has a viable passing game that can compete in the SEC along with a good defense, and Hugh Freeze, anywhere he's been, has found a way to be able to run the football. So I think we did debate based on merit here and the fact that we haven't seen this crew together yet. Should Auburn be in this top 25? You kind of won this argument over me a little bit, but I could see him at 24 based on, again, if you're basing this on the level of talent a team has, they do have a boatload of talent. Freeze does a great job on the recruiting trail, and I think the X factor, obviously, as it usually is your quarterback, is Jackson Arnold being more productive than he was in a bad situation that he had at Oklahoma this season.
You say I won this argument over you. I'm pretty sure I win every argument over you. So putting Auburn in the top 25, though, I mean, I really was looking at this, man, that receiving core. We're going to rank our position units at some point, probably over the summer. Auburn's going to have one of the best receiving corps in the country. You got Cam Coleman, who I think is going to break out and be a superstar as a sophomore. You mentioned Eric Singleton Jr. coming in, one of the top receivers in the portal from Georgia Tech. You bring back Malcolm Simmons as well, who also had a really good true freshman season. Bryce Kane, really good true freshman season. And Perry Thompson, really good true freshman season. They had really four good true freshman receivers that they all bring back next year. And now you add in Eric Singleton Jr. as well. And you add in Jackson Arnold, who was a former five-star recruit. And the issues for Jackson Arnold at Oklahoma, the offensive line was really bad, and that's still a question mark at Auburn. But they did bring in the top tackle in the portal, in Xavier Chaplin from Virginia Tech as well. So that should help out there. But the other thing was, the receiving corps at Oklahoma was horrible because of how many injuries they had. He will have one of the best receiving corps in the country. And now you could start to say, okay, he was a five-star coming out of high school. I still think Jackson Arnold showed some good things. Like, he beat Alabama with his legs in that game. Now you can start to see whether or not he's worth that five-star billing. If he is with this talented receiving core, 24 could be very low for Auburn, considering they are bringing back really good defensive players as well, especially in the secondary. Kyan Lee had a really good year. Caleb Harris, Jay Crawford, guys like that. I think this is a really talented Auburn team, and it's really dependent on whether or not Jackson Arnold can live up to that five-star billing yet coming out of high school a couple years ago.
I agree. And it's, look, it's a, it, as we're going to see here in a few minutes, it's a very deep SEC that you're talking about. They got to really work their way up the ladder, but it's hard to argue against the talent they have. They will have at least a chance to compete with a lot of those teams.
Absolutely. Number 25, Michigan as well. That's going to be a fun one to watch with Bryce Underwood potentially taking over as the quarterback for them next year. But that's what we got for 25 to 21. Let's move over to 20 to 16 now, starting off with the Louisville Cardinals at number 20, Ole Miss at number 19, SMU, who made the college football playoff this year, at number 18, another ACC team at number 17 in Miami, who just got Carson Beck in the transfer portal, and number 16 staying in the Sunshine State with the Florida Gators there. Don, for you, number 20 to 16, who stands out there?
First thing is those top two, is Florida and Miami for different reasons. Miami, I think, obviously a great year with Cam Ward and everything they did in the passing game, but just missed out on the playoffs. But Mario Cristobal is still trying to capitalize on the momentum he's got going and getting Carson Beck, and they've got a good, you know, they had a lot of really good players that are going to get drafted, but you still have a pretty good offensive line. You have Beck figuring out the weapons. You still have Mark Fletcher at running back, right? And he's trying to build this secondary because that was really the biggest problem. So Miami trying to stay relevant, I should say, in the ACC here after such a great year that came up just short of the playoff. And then Florida Gators, this is going to be high expectations for them with DJ Lagway at quarterback, hot end of the season, right? Beat LSU, beat Ole Miss. Lagway and the weapons starting to get it going. He's got a boatload of talent. He was the number one, he was the number one high school recruit in the country last season, right, at quarterback. So I think Billy Napier's doing a nice job of collecting talent. Now they got to figure out how to win ball games earlier in the season. He's just got to get Lagway a little bit more consistent. But they do. They're another one, a little bit like a more advanced version of Auburn. They have a boatload of talent on their team, right? They just need to put it together and win ball games in big spots.
Absolutely. Trey Wilson is a really talented receiver they got there. Obviously, you mentioned Lagway before. Jaden Ball showed a lot in his true freshman year at running back, I think, for them. Jake Slaughter is the best center in the country, in my opinion, this year, and he's returning to school next year. They got some guys like Tyreek Sapp on the D-line that I think is a really, really good player. The secondary is very young with some good players in there as well, like Jordan Castell. So this is a talented Florida team as well. And then Miami, they still have some really good players, right? Getting Carson Beck is absolutely massive for this team. The receiving core takes a big hit, though, with all the guys leaving. But you do bring in some guys as well, like CJ Daniels from LSU, that he projects to be the number one guy there. The problem is, who do you have after him? But then that you mentioned the secondary before. They did do a really good job in the portal of addressing that. Ethan O'Connor comes in from Washington State. He's a good corner at Wazoo this past season. They got Charles Brantley from Michigan State at corner as well. He's a really solid player. So they did address the secondary as well. Zechariah Poyser, the safety from Jacksonville State, was a solid player. He comes in there as well. So they've addressed that. They get Carson Beck in there. This could also be really low for Miami. Like, this is a team that could absolutely make a bigger leap next year, but a little bit lower on the Hurricanes right now. Reuben Bain comes back as well, who could have a big year. So it should be fun to see how those two teams, the Sunshine State, live up to the hype. And then Louisville, obviously Miller Moss getting in there. I think he's the best quarterback that Brom has had.
That's exactly right. I just love the fit of Miller Moss and Jeff Brom. And we've seen the past 2 years what he's done with Jack Plummer and Tyler Shuck. And Shuck had a really good year this year. And we both think that there's potential that Moss is better than Shuck. He knows where to go with the football. He's really heady. He's really accurate. I love that fit. I think, you know, he's losing a couple pieces on his defense, some key pieces there. But Jeff Brom finds ways to score points. He finds ways to get quarterbacks to play well. And Miller Moss, I thought, was already really solid last year at USC. I love that pairing. I think they could be very interesting this season in the ACC.
And not only you have Miller Moss for your passing game, Isaac Brown coming back for his true sophomore year at running back, and he is going to be one of the best running backs in the country.
We're going to talk about him a lot.
Absolutely. So that should be a really fun Louisville team as well. And then finally, just wrap it up with Ole Miss. It's going to be interesting. They lose a lot of key pieces, but we'll see what they always have talent in there. They did a good job at the portal once again. And then SMU, Kevin Jennings comes back. A lot of the key players from that playoff team come back as well. So there should be another team that stays in the mix in the ACC. Let's go over to 15 to 11 now before we get to our top 10. Number 15. The BYU Cougars, who bring back a lot of talent from that 11-2 team this season. Number 14, a team that did make the playoff, was Indiana, who lost in the first round. They also bring back a lot of talent with an 11-2 record as well. another team that made the playoff, the Arizona State Sun Devils, who won the Big 12 this past season, coming at number 13, and a couple SEC teams, number 12 and number 11, in South Carolina and LSU. Who stands out to you originally in that 11-15?
I mean, that's the Cinderella group right there when you look at this past year, right, with 12 through 15, all of them for various reasons. BYU bringing a ton of guys back, hardly losing anyone from a roster that just went 11-2, and some people say feel kind of slighted in that playoff selection process, so they could be coming back trying to make a statement. I think Indiana, when you look at them, you know, you maybe think, oh, this is a one-year wonder, but Fernando Mendoza, I think, in this offense, or if it's even Grant Wilson, we'll see what the competition is. He's a transfer from Old Dominion. I think Indiana, they're bringing back a lot of pieces on defense. Their defense is still going to be really good. Mikhail Kamara, D'Angelo Pons, right? I mean, they're going to be solid on defense, and it's a matter of if they can fill in at quarterback. They brought Elijah Surratt back for one more year at receiver. They brought in Roman Hemby from Maryland at running back. I don't think they're going away. Now, you know, I'm not going to sit here and say they'll make the playoff again, because this, again, was the best season in school history, but they are capable, again, of winning a lot of games. Kurt Cignetti's got talent there. Arizona State, same thing, bringing back a lot of guys, bringing back Sam Levitt. You just have to find a way to replace a good chunk of Cam Scataboo's production, which is tough. But, you know, Kenny Dillingham building a great culture. And then South Carolina, too. Lenora Sellers, everything Dylan Stewart they got going on defense. You've got a lot of talent here in that 12 to 15 range. Teams, I don't think any of them are going away next season. I don't think you're going to see a one-year wonder and then a crash to three or four wins. They're all really good football teams.
Absolutely. Yeah, you mentioned Arizona State bringing back Jordan Tyson as well. He's going to be a top five receiver in college football going into next year. You bring in some other guys to help out as well. And obviously, losing Cam Scadden was really tough, but you do bring in a pretty solid replacement in Kanye Udo from Army, transferring in there. Just the funniest maybe culture shock ever is going to be from going from like a program like Army to one of the biggest party schools in the country in Arizona State. He's going to be, it's going to be like when the Amish go through, when they're allowed to, I forgot what it's called, like something like that. But when they go into normal life for like 2 weeks, just to get a taste of what it's like before they go back to living the Amish lifestyle, it's probably what Kanye is going to go in life. Come Army to Arizona State.
Especially out there. But I'll tell you what, Kenny Dillingham wouldn't take it. Maybe he wasn't sure.
And Kenny Dillingham runs a very strict program there as well. And they're going to play hard-nosed defense regardless too. So yeah, it's going to be really fun to watch that Arizona State team. You mentioned South Carolina. They bring back so much talent from that team. Lenora Sellers is coming back as well. Nick Harbor is going to be coming back. Dylan Stewart along that defense. That defense is still going to be nasty next year as well. So South Carolina. And then LSU at number 11. Obviously, Garrett Nussmeier coming back. They got to kind of fix what's going wrong defensively. But you bring back Harold Perkins Jr., who suffered that season-ending injury. That's a big get for them. They helped build up that offensive line a little bit, even though they're losing Will Campbell and Emory Jones from that unit. So it's going to be interesting. And also, LSU brought in some good pieces in the portal at wide receiver. It's going to help them out as well. So I think LSU is another team that is going to be interesting. It's kind of make or break for LSU. It feels like a lot next year, just in terms of what they have, and they're bringing in guys like Patrick Payton from Florida State, Nick Anderson, the wide receiver from Oklahoma, is coming in there. Mansoor Delane is coming in there, the corner from Virginia Tech. He's a good player. Berrian Brown, the wide receiver from Kentucky, is coming in there. They're bringing in a lot of talent at receiving core. You got a really good quarterback in Garrett Nussmeier, one of the best in the nation. So LSU, it seems like a make or break year for Brian Kelly next year.
I would agree with that, especially you mentioned the defense. That's been the biggest problem, is no matter when they had Jaden Daniels and Garrett Nussmeier, they give up way too many points at inopportune times, and the fact that they can't make stops is why they haven't won more ball games the last few years.
Yep. All right, so that wraps up number 25 through 11. Now we get to the juicy part, the top 10. We're going to go over each individual team in the top 10, starting at number 10 with another SEC team, the Texas A&M Aggies, who finished the year 8-5 in Mike Elko's first year as head coach. They lost the Las Vegas Bowl. Solid year for the Aggies overall, Dawn, a team that, by no surprise for an Elko coach team, built around the defense, built around the run game, and they are going to have those two things working at a very high level next year.
Absolutely. I mean, you talk about bringing back Marcel Reed as your quarterback, who's a dynamic runner and honestly could improve a lot with a full offseason as a passer as their starting quarterback. His last year was supposed to be Connor Wigman, and now he's out transferred to Houston. They had all the success this year with a lot of quarterback issues, right? And you look at all the teams they lost to, most of them really, really good outside of the Auburn game. But Le'Veon Moss, coming back at tailback, that's a big get after suffering an injury against South Carolina. But you look at the weapons that they have, that if Reed figures it out from the pocket as a passer, Kevin Concepcion coming in from NC State's one of the best receivers in the country. Micah Hudson was a big-time recruit, played pretty well at Texas Tech last year. Terry Bussey's a dynamic player with incredible feet. I think that's what you're looking at, is a little bit more of a dynamic offense, right? And I think, again, a big part of this for me is, what do we get from Marcel Reed after kind of a playing most of this past year and running a very run-centric offense to being – I think we saw flashes of him making throws, especially kind of at that intermediate level. But I think A&M is looking at having more dynamic-type receivers. Reed with a full offseason of development as the starter, as opposed to coming in as the backup and then coming on the field midseason. There's a lot to like here about Texas A&M, and you know, like you mentioned, they're losing a lot of the defensive line. Mike Elko's going to have a good defense.
Oh, yeah.
He always has a good defense, right? Will Lee coming back, Torian York coming back. They're going to have a good defense. It's just, to me, the center of it all is Marcel Reed and them being a two-dimensional offense as opposed to just the dynamic running offense that they were this past year.
Yeah, and one guy I'm really looking forward to seeing more next year is Cassius Howell, who was a transfer from Bowling Green, the edge defender for them. He had a 90.9 pass rushing grade for Texas A&M this year. He's kind of gotten forgotten in that shuffle because obviously you got Nick Scorton there, you got Shamar Stewart there as well. I think Cassius Howell could have a major, major breakout year next year. He's an elite athlete as well, and a really good run defender. He's a guy to watch out for next year. I think Cassius Howell could have a major breakout year next year for the Aggies. And like you mentioned, their run game's been really good with Moss coming back and Marcel Reed coming back. It really, what takes Texas A&M from, you know, borderline top 10, top 15 team to maybe a contender to win it all next year is whether or not Marcel Reed can develop as a passer. Because you just mentioned it, that receiving core they have with Kevin Concepcion, Micah Hudson, Terry Bussey, even Mario Craver they added from Mississippi State too. He was solid for me. He had like 370 yards for them this year. That's one of the best receiving cores in America. And if you have a quarterback who's that dangerous with his legs and a really great running back in Le'Veon Moss, one of the best running backs in America, with that receiving core, that could be a dangerous offense. And then you got Mike Elko coach defense with a lot of really good players returning on that side of the ball. Texas A&M could absolutely make the leap next year into being one of the top contenders in the country.
Absolutely. I think Concepcion especially, you're going to be looking at him getting 150-plus touches next year. Because I can only imagine him being the jet motion guy constantly with Marcel Reed running that read option back there in the backfield. I mean, was it the last 2 years or just 2023 when he was NC State's leading rusher as well?
2023, I believe. Yeah.
Okay, not this past year.
No, it's true
year,
freshman
but I,
year.
But
yeah.
I know he was up there anyway. He's a guy that you get the ball to any way possible, and I think that's what's between him and Bussey. I think those are two of those guys like that where just put the ball in their hands and see what they can do. And Texas A&M, they got some dynamic athletes on that offense.
And Concepcion, one of the best separators in America, elite obviously with the ball in his hands as well. And then if Micah Hudson can hit on that ceiling he had coming out of high school, he's like a top 15 recruit coming out of high school. Like, that could be disgusting. And then Terry Bussey, too, is also a five-star recruit. And we saw flashes for him in this year where he's like, that guy's electric.
Weren't there talks about him being a two-way player at one point?
They was listed as an athlete. Because they were like, you can play
an athlete at that. Plus, kick returns, punt returns, the whole bit. So they have got – I think that's the thing with that set of guys is their offense is going to be a little more dynamic from sideline to sideline than it was this past year. Because I think a lot of their receivers this past year were kind of standard, right? When you talk about, okay, you don't have this versatility and all the things they can do with the set of guys they brought in, especially, I think they present multiple problems offensively this season.
And we're certainly making a bet here with Texas A&M after going 8-5. Obviously, you probably want to see more teams that had a great 2024, but this is a team that just the ceiling with them. I mean, and Marcel Reed, the development as a passer, because he did have the ninth worst, in the Power Four this year at about 68%. So he's got to get better with his accuracy, but he's an elite runner, and he's got all the tools at his disposal to have a really good year as a passer next year. So Texas A&M checking in at number 10 in our way to early top 25. At number 9 is the Tennessee Volunteers, Eli's Vols. They had a 10-3 record this year. They lost in the first round of the playoff. They had an elite defense last year, Dolan. That was really the biggest reason why they were fifth in EPA per play last year defensively. And a lot of their really good players on that side of the ball are coming back for another year.
Yeah, they sure are. I mean, you talk about they're losing a couple of them. James Pierce Jr. is obviously the big one. Omar Norman Lott on the inside, but they're bringing back some ballers. You talk about Josh Josephs on the defensive line. He's one of the best run defenders in the country this year, developing as a pass rusher. Jermod McCoy, when we do our top 10 cornerbacks, he's going to be
in top three, probably.
No question. Yeah. Jermaine McCoy is going to be a monster at corner. They got a good secondary. I think Josh Heupel's done a really good job putting this defense together now for the last year and a half. And then offensively, you still have Nico Iamaleava. You lost Dylan Sampson, which was really the engine of your offense, so you really need to lean more on Nico now. But look, they're going to run a fast-paced offense. They're going to try to create explosive plays. And he got a lot better down the stretch of the season. I think you saw him struggle a bit the first half of the season. He was still getting used to being the starter, playing week in and week out. Had, I think, a concussion early in the year that disrupted that a little bit. But I think when you saw how he progressed later in the year, they just need to surround him with weapons. They need to find the right elements of speed and just explosive plays and find a way to replace Sampson. That's the biggest question for me, is their ability to run the ball without Dylan Sampson. But there's a very, very high floor here on this Tennessee team, and I think that's the biggest reason they're here. I don't know yet, until we see the offense operate, that they're a national title contender, but they are certainly a playoff contender with as much talent as they have coming back.
Yeah, the defense especially, they have so much talent coming back. And then Nico, it was a rough stretch for him at one point last year with the accuracy. He actually got a lot better. You're right, in the second half of the year, he got a lot better. And overall, on the season, he had the 16th best passing grade in college football. So he's still absolutely one of the best quarterbacks in America going into next year. Receiving corps loses a lot of guys, but they bring back Miles Kitzelman, who's probably one of the best tight ends in America. Chris Brazel comes back for another year as well. Then you have a lot of really young wide receivers in that receiving core, like Mike Matthews is a former five-star recruit. You hope he has a big jump as well. Really, the biggest questions for me are along the offensive line, because it wasn't a great unit this year, and they also lose a lot. I think they lose four starters from that unit this past season. And then obviously Dylan Sampson, how do you replace that production at running back as well? So that's the big thing, is the O-line and the run game. But other than that, the defense should be really good again. You got Nico coming back, who's going to be a top 10 quarterback at least in college football going to next year. And then a receiving core that, yes, loses some pieces, but also they've recruited so well at the receiver position, they should be just all right there as well. So really, for me, the big things are, how does the O-line develop in next year, and what can they find in the run game as well?
Absolutely. They're going to be good. It's just going to be a matter of how many of those big games in the SEC can they win.
Yep. All right, so Tennessee checks in at number 9 in our Way Too Early Top 25, and another SEC team here at number 8, Dalton, in the Alabama Crimson Tide, finishing 9-4 on the year, suffering a pretty bad loss to Michigan in that ReliaQuest bowl game. Pretty disappointing year for Kalen DeBoer, to say the least. Alabama lost 4 games in a season. The last time they did that, 2007, which was Nick Saban's first year as Alabama's head coach. Now, maybe you could spin that if you're an Alabama fan, say, hey, Saban took a not a great year in his first year. DeBoer didn't have a great year, and then Saban obviously became the greatest coach of all time after that. Maybe DeBoer can come something close to that after. Big year two for him, though, obviously, after losing some pretty bad games in year one. But there are a lot of reasons to be optimistic about the Crimson Tide making a big bounce back next year.
Yeah, you're talking about, when you do these exercises, who's bringing back the most talent, mm-hmm. right? Because we don't know what they look like till September. There's a lot of talent coming back to Alabama. 4 starting offensive linemen. I think they caught a break getting Jaden Roberts and Parker Brailsford back up front. Ryan Williams coming back on the outside, of course, as a true freshman this past year, one of the best in the country. Jam Miller coming back at running back. A boatload of pieces coming back on defense. Some I don't think we necessarily expected. Deontay Lawson, maybe the injury played a part in that. If he's 100% next year, he might be the best linebacker in the country. LT Overton passing up the draft to come back another year. Damani Jackson at corner. Got some other young kids in the secondary. There is a boatload of talent still here at Alabama. They only lost a couple of key guys, right? Tyler Booker. I think Kalen DeBoer, in year two, just settle this thing down. I know it was a tough year, obviously a tough bowl loss, but the question's just going to be the quarterback, right? But I think Ty Simpson, in a more traditional sense, in a Kalen DeBoer offense, we think about Michael Penix Jr. at Washington, throwing from the pocket, making those big, accurate throws. And I think more so than Jalen Milroe, possibly, just getting the ball out on time, I think it's going to be a big asset for this offense. I think Alabama's got some real potential to surprise us here. Maybe not surprise us, but surprise a lot of people after the year they had, struggling to a 9-4 record by their standards, coming back and bouncing back and maybe being right in the thick of the SEC race at the top.
Yeah, I mean, it starts on defense for me. I mean, you bring back Bray Hubbard, who was really good at safety for them, I think as a sophomore. LT Overton, you mentioned before, could have been like a top 50 pick in the NFL draft if he declared. He didn't declare. Tim Keenan III, the D-tackle, had a really good year as well. He comes back to school. Deontay Lawson comes back to school. I believe Keon Sabb come back to school as well. They're loaded defensively. And then obviously you mentioned offensively, that O-line is going to continue to be one of the best in the country. And yes, you mentioned before Roberts and Brailsford came back. Another big one is Caden Proctor, who had to come back to school because he can't declare yet. He will probably be a top 10 prospect for a lot of people. He might even be OT1 heading into next year's draft in the offseason. He is a freak athlete at like 6'7", 370 pounds, but he moves so well at that size. So they're loaded on the offensive line. You got Ryan Williams, who's going to be, what, he's probably the number two receiver in the country going into next year behind Jeremiah Smith.
Top, no less than top five, but he very well could be number two. I mean, he's a freak of nature in his own right.
I think Jeremy Bernard come back to school another year too.
Yeah. Oh yeah. No, they've got plenty to work with. There's no question. I think the real big question, if Ty Simpson were to hit and play like a top 15 to 20 quarterback, Alabama's a national title contender.
Yes.
Because they've got everything else at their disposal to work with. You've got one of the best receivers. You've got what should be a top notch defense with all the experience they have coming back. Arguably the best offensive line in the country. And I know this is something you talked about last year. You called them the best offensive line in the country in the preseason. And four of those guys are coming back. So I'd assume maybe they're probably going to be number one in that spot again.
They'll be close. Yeah, we'll see.
Although I think are they replacing Pritchett, the right tackle also? I think actually he might have transferred out.
Yes.
So three of them coming back, but they're three primetime players with Proctor, Roberts, and Brailsford. I think Alabama's going to be just fine. And the X factor here is just how good Ty Simpson is and how far he can take
them. And luckily for them, I know you don't really care about this, Dolan, but he was a five-star recruit. And he sat on the bench for 3 years now. He has spent 3 years on the bench. That does not happen for most five-star recruits, especially a quarterback. They don't spend three years on the bench.
Not anymore.
So he is waiting his turn. Like some of the guys are declaring for the NFL draft out of his class right now. And he's like, nope, I'm just going to sit here on the bench, wait my turn. And now it is his turn at Alabama. So we'll see what the kid's got for Alabama. But I've watched some of his tape, obviously not a lot of tape. He's had like 160 snaps over the last two seasons, but there's some stuff there. You could see why he was a five-star recruit. He's got some really nice zip on his passes. He can run a little bit too. He's not the elite dual threat that Jalen Milroe was, but I'm really curious to see how he fits in this offense. He's got a lot to work with at Alabama next year. And then, like you said, that the reason why they're this high, honestly, that defense is going to be absolutely loaded going into next year. It's going to look a lot like the Nick Saban teams of Alabama's past, even if they don't have a defensive head coach like Nick Saban anymore. So Alabama checks in at number 8, and another SEC team at number 7. I promise we're going to have non-SEC teams in there. I know a lot of people are tired of the quote-unquote SEC bias for most people. We have non-SEC teams coming later on in this list, but Georgia checks in at number 7, and maybe a little bit lower than a lot of people thought Georgia would be in most preseason rankings, Dolan, considering how good they've been year in and year out. But they had an 11-3 record. They lost in the college football playoff quarterfinal. There's just a lot of unknowns with Georgia right now. Now, there is the argument that Georgia fans, I'm sure, will make in our comment section saying, listen, we recruit at an insane level every year. We always lose talent, and we always replace the talent. Georgia's had a top three recruiting class in each of the last 9 years. 9 years in a row of having a top three class in the country. That is outrageous from Kirby Smart. But there's some questions, right? Gunnar Stockton now, a quarterback of Carson Beck going to Miami. It's going to be a little bit different of a Georgia team. That's why. And also, there's the top six that we have in this one. We feel a little bit better about what they return and all that. And they're still really good teams as well. So that's why Georgia's here at number 7. But they could absolutely be a lot higher at season's end.
Look, I think there's just – you're right. It's a lot of unknown. What we do know is Kirby Smart will have some sort of good team out there. What we don't know is – how good Gunnar Stockton is, to me, the biggest questions are offensive line, because they already had issues at tackle this season, and now they're losing all three of the interior three, right, in Tate Ratledge, Jared Wilson, and Dylan Fairchild. They're all going into the draft. So now I've got an offensive line that needs to be completely rebuilt. They're always replacing guys on defense. We know Kirby's going to have a good defense, right? He's got K.J. Bolden coming back. He's got Dalen Everett coming back at corner. They're going to be fine on defense. I don't know if they'll be the number one defense in the country, but they're going to – it's Kirby Smart. I'm not worried about that. I'm more worried about the offensive line and Gunnar Stockton. And then, look, I know they're bringing in some weapons, but – the passing game was the reason they didn't win a national title this year, and that was with Carson Beck. Now you're talking about more guys leaving. We're bringing transfers in. We're trying to cobble it together again, possibly with worse pass protection. That's where I'm the most concerned, because I don't have a doubt about them being able to run the ball, say, with Nate Frazier and with Branson Robinson, right? I think they're going to be able to run the football. They'll be fine, and Stockton's a good athlete too, but can they throw the ball? I think that's what it comes down to, because this year, without Brock Bowers and Ladd McConkey, they couldn't do it. And now Carson Beck transfers to Miami, and that was as shocking to us, I think, as anything. You know, we were expecting, okay, if he's going to leave, he's going to go in the draft. And he winds up transferring. And Gunnar Stockton is just going to be the plan here behind a very suspect offensive line. That's what I would worry about, especially when you're talking head-to-head matchups against a team like Alabama or a team like Texas, who has really good defensive lines and freak-level defenses. Can Georgia block enough, and can Stockton be clean enough in the pocket to make enough throws?
And there's reasons for us to be a little cautious with Georgia, because Gunnar Stockton had a 56.4 PFF grade this year, so obviously not great at all. Now, granted, a lot of those snaps came against Texas and against Notre Dame. So, like, those are two of the best defenses in America. It's hard for him to come off the bench and be good against the Steves. I completely
understand. On short notice.
On short notice. I completely understand it. But at the same time, you got to be, you know, cautious with him, at least. You know, you can't just start saying, oh, he's gonna be a great quarterback next year. He'll be just like Carson Beck. I don't know. There were some reports, I don't know how true they were, that Georgia wanted Carson Beck back, and he decided to go to the portal anyways. So maybe there's a lot of people saying, oh, well, they forced Beck out because they knew Stockton was better. There's some reports saying that's not the case. So who knows, honestly. But Georgia will still have a great defense, obviously. Christian Miller, the D-tackle, I think will have a really, really good year next year. He looked really good in limited time this year. K.J. Bolden is a superstar. Yeah, they lose Malachi Starks, who's going to be a top 15 pick in the NFL draft of safety. They have another superstar safety coming up in K.J. Bolden. He was awesome as a true freshman this year. But you mentioned it. Their offensive line, they lose some pieces. They have a revamped receiving core. That was one of the biggest issues last year. They added some big-time talent, though. Zachariah Branch going in there from USC. Noah Thomas getting in there from Texas A&M as well. So they did revamp the receiving core a little bit. But there's a question mark in the offensive line a little bit. And then more for me, it's more about Gunnar Stockton. How does he look? Can he improve on that? Or will it be more like the two games we saw against Notre Dame and Texas, where he's just an okay quarterback overall?
And Oscar Delp back at tight end, too, for another go-around also. So, I mean, I think you feel a little bit better about the talent of the weaponry. It's just, for me, I think the first thing I'm going to be watching this year is that offensive line.
Yeah, absolutely. So, Georgia, this one felt so wrong when we were putting it together, but the top six were like, oh, we're really excited about this top six. Georgia, there's at least some questions to be for them right now, but number seven, they could absolutely be a lot higher, and they probably will be a lot higher by season's end, but we're a little cautious with the Bulldogs here at number seven. Number six, Dalton, we're making a call here. Clemson. Number six is Clemson. 10-4 record this year. They won the ACC for the eighth time in 10 years. Lost in the first round of the playoff to Texas, but this is going to be a freaking loaded, loaded team next year. They brought back 8 of their 10 most valuable players from this year's squad, according to PFF's wins above average metric. So many potential superstars coming out on offense and defense. I think the Clemson Tigers could be making a big statement next year.
They pretty much are bringing back this entire same team, except for Phil Maffa and Barrett Carter. The improvement of Cade Klubnik this year, and you saw it. There were stretches of their playoff game against Texas where he was the best player on the field. He was dropping dimes on Texas in the playoffs, which is very hard to do. And their defense, with everything they have coming back, T.J. Parker, Peter Woods, Avion Terrell, Sammy Brown at linebacker. I think
Khalil Barnes.
Barnes. They're working on a waiver to get DeMonte Capehart back for one more year. I mean, this defense and Cade Klubnik's improvement, as long as it holds, make Clemson the odds on, I think, easy favorite to win the ACC. Yeah. They were not supposed to win the ACC this year.
No.
They really weren't. SMU was great all year. Miami had Cam Ward, right? There was some other contenders in there. They weren't supposed to win the ACC this year, and they did. This Clemson team coming back next year, as young as they were this year, this could be a monster. I think defensively, especially for me. And now they're bringing in Tom Allen from Penn State to run the defense. I mean, that's where it starts for me. And then Klubnik, I think, pretty easily from what he showed us this year, is going to walk into next year. He's one of the 10 best quarterbacks in the country.
Easily, yeah.
The question was receivers. Now, we got some guys who got better as the year went on. I think Antonio Williams is a big piece of their offense. Brian Wesco, young true freshman this year that played well. You've got a boatload of talent. Dabo Swinney, this is the most talented team he's probably had in the last 3 or 4 years. I fully expect them to win the ACC. I don't see any reason right now that I could pick anybody else to win the ACC.
I mean, they've won 8 of the last 10 ACC championships with, like, less talented teams. So it's like, yeah, I feel like they're the favorite to win.
They were in no way supposed to win it this year. They were not supposed to win it this year.
And they still did.
They found a way to do it.
And they still did. So I think that's just a testament to Dabo Swinney and his team. And, man, this team, and with Cade Klubnik coming back, 87.7 passing grade this year as a junior, 5th among all quarterbacks in the country. The year before, He had a 63.9 pass grade. He had a massive, massive jump as a junior and showed why he was the number one quarterback coming out of high school a few years ago. And you mentioned that receiving core. A receiving core that has really struggled in recent years after having so many talented players come through like Sammy Watkins, DeAndre Hopkins, T. Higgins, guys like that. For a few years, they were really bad. But now you got young guys like Antonio Williams, Bryant Wesco Jr., T.J. Moore, Tyler Brown. Like, these are guys that are really, really stepping up for that receiving core right now. Blake Miller coming back in the offensive line. A lot of people thought he would be a day two pick in the NFL draft at tackle. He comes back for another year as well. And then you mentioned that defense, man, with T.J. Parker, Peter Woods, Jaheim Lawson, Avion Terrell, Jaden Lucas, Khalil Barnes, Sammy Brown. Like, they have so many great players on that defense. And now you add Tom Allen, a defensive coordinator as well. Yeah, this is a Clemson team that you need to watch out for next year. They're going to be disgustingly good, I think. So
absolutely. Clear favorite in the ACC, no question.
And listen, this wasn't even their year, and they still made the college football playoff and lost in the first round and won the ACC. So, like, I think we could see even bigger jump from the Tigers going to next year. All right, before we get to our top five, though, we got to talk about the sponsor of the show. That is Fabric by Gerber Life. The new year is a great time to reevaluate financial goals, not just for yourself, but for your kids. Now is a perfect time to make sure your kids are on a path toward a solid financial future. A kid's investment account from Fabric by Gerber Life is quick and simple to set up and lets you invest in their future now for education, big milestones, and more. Fabric by Gerber Life is designed by parents for parents to make it easy to plan for and manage your family's financial path. With a kid's investment account from Fabric, you can start investing in your child's future today. Kids can't invest when they're minors, but a kid's investment account allows you to invest on their behalf now, giving their investments more time to grow. It's all online, and setting up an account can take you just 5 minutes. Then you can manage your child's account and monitor their investments right from your phone. Unique gifting links can be shared with family and friends, so instead of more stuff, that can help grow your child's investments for their future instead. Join the thousands of parents who trust Fabric to help protect their family. Start investing in your child today at meetfabric.com/PFFcollege. That's meetfabric.com/PFFcollege. meetfabric.com/PFFcollege. Portfolios managed by Fort Washington Investment Advisors Incorporated. Additional services provided by Apex Clearing Corporation. All investing is subject to risk. Learn more at meetfabric.com. All right. Top five now of our way too early top 25 going into the 2025 season. And at number five, Dawn, is a team that is playing in the national title game. By the time this drops, we'll know whether or not they won the national title. But it's the Notre Dame Fighting Irish as of right now that are currently 14-1 on the season. They also bring back a lot of talent from this year's team. They lose some pieces for sure, like Riley Leonard going to the NFL draft, but this is a team that should once again be one of the top contenders to win it all next year.
Well, and here's the only other question is, do we have suspense on whether or not Marcus Freeman's going to be there? Or is he going to take it up the road to
that's
Chicago?
That's
true. Rumor mills churning on that one, but we won't know till after the game whether that's real or not. Either way, you're still talking about a team who knows who they are. They have their identity. They're a great defense. You're going to run the football, right? And I think you have the headliner on offense being Jeremiah Love, who we both think is the best running back coming back to college football next season. Just an incredible player. Obviously played through some things in the playoffs, some injuries, but when he's 100%, he's as explosive as any back in the country. And then the defense is what does it, as it usually does for Notre Dame. I think you talk about amazing corners on the outside. Leonard Moore with just a brilliant true freshman season. Christian Gray on the other side. I think for me, a guy I really like I'm watching next year is Drake Bowen at linebacker.
Oh, yeah.
What a spectacular player he is, playing next to Jack Kaiser this year. Kaiser off to the NFL. Now you got Bowen really as the lead dog at linebacker. Their defense is going to be really good. They're going to be able to run the football. The question is Steve Angeli and the passing game. More of a pocket passer than Riley Leonard. And I think the big thing, more so even than the passing, is the absence of Leonard's legs, because there's been probably at least three or four games this year where his legs were actually the equalizer. I think about the Louisville game, the Georgia game for sure, Penn State a little bit. I think, what does this offense look like with someone who's a little bit less of a dual threat than Riley Leonard? But Notre Dame's got an extremely high floor with their defense and their running game sure to most likely to dominate again next year.
Absolutely. Yeah, you bring back Jeremiah Love, the best running back in the country. You bring back Leonard Moore. Is he the best corner in the country going into next year? I maybe argue he would.
He's up there. He's on the list, that's for sure. He's probably, so we're going to put him in the top five somewhere, being that good, that young.
And then you bring back Christian Gray. You bring back Drake Bowen. You bring back Jalen Snead. You bring back Adon Shuler. Yeah, loaded defense all around. So that, and then also the offensive line that I really like this year as well. You bring back guys like Billy Shrouth at left guard, really good pass blocker. You bring back Emil Wagner as well. You bring back Anthony Knapp at left tackle. So loaded offensive line as well, as they always have in Notre Dame. And in the receiving core, Jordan Faison come back for another year. Jaden Greathouse come back for another year as well. Steve Angeli's got a lot to work with next year. So this is a Notre Dame team that absolutely, and Anthony Tresh, if he comes back for another year, that's another big big get for Notre Dame.
Something tells me he'll be back.
I think he'll be back for another year.
It'd be tough to leave a national title sort of team here that played in the national title game. Maybe he's getting a bunch of offers.
Who knows? We'll see.
Maybe.
We'll see.
Key piece right there.
Absolutely, key piece. The number one key piece from Notre Dame. But, yeah, they have so much talent coming back for another year, especially in that secondary, the defense overall, and then you bring back the best running back in America. The offensive line is still loaded. And then the receiving core has some nice pieces in it. And Jelly, I will say, show some stuff in that Penn State semifinal game.
That was a big moment in that game.
Yeah.
I know it's just the field
and
goal.
He drove him down that field.
Absolutely. And I think it got him some momentum. You know, obviously we've already done our breakdown of the game, and I'm sure you don't want to hear about it again. But, no, I think it was a big moment. He's gotten to play a little bit. Actually, got to play in the bowl game last year. Was it against Oregon State, mm-hmm. right? And won that game. So it's not like he's completely devoid of experience. It's the biggest thing is for me is he's different than Riley Leonard. And now you wonder if Mike Denbrock gets back into more of the offense he traditionally runs, which is a little more pass heavy than he's run it lately.
Yeah, he had an 83.9 PFF grade on 104 snaps this year. So very good stuff from Steve Angeli in the limited time that we saw from him. But that's the big question for Notre Dame. But other than that, I mean, they brought back a lot. 8 of their 15 most valuable players from this year's team are coming back to school for another year. So that Notre Dame team should absolutely still be in the running for maybe another national title if they win this game, or to get back to that point if they end up losing to Ohio State. At number 4, the team that Notre Dame beat in the College Football Playoff semifinal is the Penn State Nittany Lions. Finished the year with a 13-3 record, making the College Football Playoff for the first time ever, and making their first Big Ten title game in, I believe, 8 years for Penn State. So even though it was a heartbreaking end to the year, still a very successful year for Penn State. And Dalton, the reason why they're here at number 4, they brought back pretty much everybody from that team. They are all running it back for Penn State, and why they're here at number 4.
Pretty much the only guys gone, right, are Abdul Carter and Tyler Warren. Now,
essentially,
those are the two best players on the whole football team. I mean, and they're both going to go top 20 in this year's draft, but you're talking about bringing back Drew Aller. First mm-hmm. and foremost, anytime you bring back the same quarterback, you have hope. The Notre Dame game was obviously a struggle, but he's been very good the last 2 years. Catron Allen and Nick Singleton at running back. They're fixing it up at receiver. We're trying to figure all that out, as we usually are. But defensively, you have to like what you're looking at, right? A.J. Harris out there at corner. Zane Durant on the inside. Dennis Sutton on the edge. I know Kobe King just declared for the draft, but
Dominic DeLuca announced he's coming back to school.
Now you've got DeLuca coming back. I mean, they're going to have
pieces. Tony Rojas had a really good year this year.
He sure did. They're going to have pieces on defense. Got to find a defensive coordinator now.
Yeah.
That's the other question of, you know, how they're going to run it. But Penn State, they're always really good on defense. They have a solid quarterback. They got two excellent running backs. The biggest thing, I think, per usual, and also, as I mentioned a million times during the season, a terrific offensive coordinator in Andy Kotelnicki, who will put it all together. But it's about replacing Tyler Warren's production in the passing game. That's really going to be the big thing, where that comes from the wide receiver position, whether it comes from the tight end position. Somewhere along the line, the difference for this team is going to be, do you have enough weapons on the outside? There's some turnover now with Harrison Wallace and Amari Evans entering the portal. They're bringing some other guys in, but that's what it's going to be against the better teams on their schedule in the Big Ten or even in playoff spots. Do you have enough on the outside? You can't just run everybody over every week.
No, and I think they need to add one more. Now, it's pretty dried up in terms of this transfer portal, but there will be a spring portal that opens up, and I think that is the time. If any wide receiver enters that portal, Penn State needs to pounce on it immediately, because you did bring in Kyron Hudson, who was USC's like number 4 receiver this year. He's a solid player, good contested catch guy. So that's one thing. But then you bring in Devontae Ross from Troy. He was a 1,000-yard receiver for Troy, but obviously a big step up competition going from Troy to the Big Ten and Penn State. So you bring in him as well. But you mentioned it. You lose Harrison Wallace. You lose Amari Evans. Your top 2 wide receivers are gone now, and your number 1 tight end is gone. Now, I have no questions about tight end, actually. Ironically, even though Tyler Warren was the John Mackey Award winner, Penn State's brought in like a top 4 tight end of high school in like each of the last 3 years. So they're just fine at tight end. I have way more questions at wide receiver right now. And I know a lot of Penn State fans will say, well, you know, Wallace and Evans didn't really do much anyways, but you kind of need like warm bodies in that room right now. And I know it's very similar to conversation last year, in my opinion, where Keandre Lambert-Smith leaves, and a lot of Penn State fans go, well, we didn't really do much anyways. He had a great year at Auburn, right? And they could have very much used him. And they, if they had him, they probably would have beaten Notre Dame, honestly, in that game. So it feels a little similar to me where it's like, oh, well, we don't need Wallace and Evans anyway. They weren't any good. You need something. You need something at wide receiver. And I think they got to add a little bit more to that room right now because it's still lacking. Even with Hudson coming in, who I like, but he's more of like a complimentary piece. Devontae Ross had a really good year at Troy, but can he have that same kind of year at Penn State? Those to me seem like more complimentary pieces. You're still looking for the true, who is our guy? Who is our number one receiver? That's the big question. But otherwise, everywhere else, this team is absolutely loaded and why they're still number four.
I think a question that we really started to ask later in the season was, where in the hell would this team be without Tyler Warren? We're about to find out. We're going to find out in 2025 where they'll be without Tyler Warren. I mean, you know, not only obviously their top tight end, the best tight end in the country this year, right? So, I mean, you lose a guy like that and you need – it's going to take a collective to step up, right? Warren's a special, special player. It's overwhelmingly likely that they won't have one guy who replaces all of that production. It's going to take a group effort, and it's going to take some time, I think, for them to adjust.
It absolutely will. But like I said, tight end, they should be just fine at. The wide receiver positions is, again, what you're still looking at for Penn State. But honestly, I was surprised by how many guys ended up coming back. Nick Singleton did not expect him to come back. He came back to school for another year. Denied Dennis Sutton could have declared and been like a fourth-round pick. He decided to come back for another year as well. Brought back a lot of other guys, too. So Penn State's loaded. They're loaded everywhere, and then it comes down to the age-old question of, can Penn State find something at wide receiver, and we'll see if they can do it this year. So Penn State at number four. At number three is the other team playing in the national title game. That is the Ohio State Buckeyes, currently with a 13-2 record on the season. We'll see whether or not they beat Notre Dame in the national title game, but I believe they're about 10-point favorites right now, so we'll see. They lose a lot. They lose a lot of talent. I'm not going to sugarcoat it. They're going to lose a lot of talent from this year's team. Obviously, everyone came back for their senior years, it felt like. But what they bring back, Dolan, is a team that always recruits at a high level, so they're always going to have talent there. And they bring back probably the two best players in the country in Jeremiah Smith and Caleb Downs.
Yeah, absolutely. You got those two freaks. You can build around them.
Right? Yeah.
And I think whoever their quarterback is going to be next year, if it's Julian Sand, who we're expecting, then so be it. Okay, here you go. Here's the next Julio Jones to throw to. Your life should be at least somebody's.
And Carnell Tate, yeah.
And Carnell Tate, and that's a huge piece next year, too. He's really emerged down the stretch as a threat. But I think a lot of this is knowing, look, this year was the year. Right, that they needed to win a national championship, or they loaded up to win a national championship. And now they move into the next year or two with a new core surrounding Jeremiah and Caleb and go, okay, how do we load up for another one, right? A lot of veteran talent leaving this team. And look, we do have them this high in part because they're Ohio State.
Yes.
And they always find this level of talent. They're going to have it. There's going to be new names that emerge, right? And, you know, maybe we don't know which of those guys become elite players yet. But when you have the consistent level of talent that they have, I mean, they have to be this high, especially after the year they just had. And, again, it's an argument that they have the two best football players in the country heading into next year. You can build it around that. Absolutely.
And I feel like a lot of commenters are probably saying, wait, well, why is Georgia 7 then if you're making the argument, oh, it's Ohio State? Well, the difference is, one, Ohio State might have just won a national title, so you got to, like, show some respect for them to do that. And then, two, they're bringing back two of the best players in the country. Like, Georgia, they have a lot of really good players coming back. They don't have the two best players in the country coming back, right? So that's another thing as well. Julian Sain at quarterback. He was a top 10 recruit, the number two quarterback in the country coming out of high school a couple years ago. The only quarterback who was higher than him was DJ Lagway, who we talked about earlier. You bring in some really good players. Max Clair, tight end from Purdue. Really good tight end from Purdue. He goes to Ohio State. CJ Donaldson will be taking over at running back for Ohio State, the West Virginia transfer as well. So that's a big get for them. So, yeah, they're losing a lot. Listen, they will always lose a lot. It's Ohio State. But they do still have a lot of really good players. And you have, like I said, two absolute freaking superstars and Jeremiah Smith and Caleb Downs.
Would I bet on them to repeat? Probably not.
No, that's why they're number three right now, not number one.
But I think this is a team with enough young talent with those two guys. Now, Caleb Downs will probably be gone in 2026, but you could see it being a setup year to make another national title run in 2026. That would not shock me, especially if Sand can develop next year. And Jeremiah Smith, I don't know how much more Jeremiah Smith needs to develop at the college level.
Yeah.
He could be a top 15 receiver in the NFL right now, but they're going to be really good. They're always really good, right? They're going to be in playoff contention. And I think similar to what we expected from Michigan this past year, where we thought maybe they'd be in playoff contention. Well, they didn't have Jeremiah Smith either. So I would still fully expect Ohio State to win at least 10 games next year. Obviously, the Michigan game is going to be a whole big deal in and of itself. But, I mean, they're just always here, right? That's kind of where we've gotten to. They're always going to be here, and it's just a matter of how much of those preseason expectations they fulfill.
I mean, their backups are five-star recruits. Like, yeah. So you know. And, I mean, maybe a guy like Sonny Styles might come back for another year that can help really help out their defense as well. They should have some guys coming back, but yeah, it's going to be losing a lot of talent, but at the same time, it's Ohio State. They always have talent there, and they have the two best players in the country going into next year in Caleb Downs and Jeremiah Smith. All right, number two is the only team to, or one of the only teams to beat Ohio State in the regular season besides Michigan. That is the Oregon Ducks, who finished the year with a 13-1 record, losing in the quarterfinal round to Ohio State in the Rose Bowl. They're losing some talent. Obviously, Dylan Gabriel, Heisman Trophy finalist, is gone, but they got Dante Moore to replace him. He was a former five-star recruit a couple years ago in that Arch Manning class. So you have that. You have a lot of really top players coming back. And then also, Dawn, they, as Oregon always does, really hammered the transfer portal and got some of the best players in the country to go in there.
I'll tell you what, the guy that sticks out to me first is, if you don't know Mekhi Hughes, who was running back at Tulane last couple years, you're going to get to know him at Oregon. He is one of the best backs in college football. He's going to fit right in, right in Jordan James' shoes, maybe even better. Behind an interior, they got to replace the two tackles. They're both going to the NFL, but an interior offensive line that got a little bit better as the year went on, and it's a young group that's getting better. And I think Hughes and what this team wants to do in the run game first, that's going to be a huge asset. I think he's in for a monster year next year. I think that's the first thing that jumps out. Evan Stewart staying at receiver, that's a big deal. He was their number two this year behind Tej Johnson. Kenyon Sadiq at tight end's a good weapon to have, and really got to step up now with, I think, Terrence Ferguson and Patrick Herbert both declaring for the draft, I believe.
So
there's some retooling to do. But Dan Lanning's kind of used to this. He went from Bo to Dylan Gabriel. And I think Dante Moore, like you mentioned, he puts some good tape out there as a true freshman at UCLA. You know, he had some struggles on an offense that wasn't really built that well to succeed. It wasn't great when he was there, and not really, obviously not all his fault as a true freshman behind a big-time struggling offensive line. But I think if Dante Moore plays up to his talent level, we're going to be talking about Oregon all year next year, too. And I think the fact that he's got Hughes next to him in the backfield is a huge asset. Evan Stewart coming back can have another solid season. And, look, Dan Lanning's been putting together good defenses over there, too. And boy, getting my guy Dylan Thieneman over there. It's safety to transfer from Purdue to Oregon. That doesn't even feel fair, honestly.
Yep.
That's just crazy to get him in. Because you know me, I think he's one of the best safeties in the country. And he was just that Purdue situation. Really eroded pretty quickly.
Yeah, it didn't really help him. He played a lot more in the box as a sophomore when his true freshman year, when he was terrific. He had six picks as a true freshman. He was like a center fielder for them. So Dan Lanning's smart, which he is. He will be playing Dylan Thieneman a lot as like the center fielder in his defense. And then so you added him, one of the best safeties in the country. And then, like I mentioned, Hughes is one of the best running backs in the country. And you mentioned the offensive line, Dalton. They also hammered the offensive line in the portal as well. Emmanuel Pregnon, the guard from USC, who's a pretty good guard, he goes to Oregon. They also added two of the best tackles in the portal. Isaiah World from Nevada went to Oregon, and Alex Harkey from Texas State also went to Oregon as well. Theron Johnson, a corner from Northwestern, who's a really, really good player, he went to Oregon as well. They added a lot. And Bear Alexander, I know he's kind of been an up-and-down career for him, but if there's any coach that can extract that talent out of him, it probably is Dan Lanning.
And then you got guys coming back to, I think about Mateo Uiagalelei
coming
back, right? I believe Bryce Betcher is coming back at linebacker for another year. I think you've got plenty of talent on this team to work with. I think for Oregon, the question is just playoff success. I think there's a pretty good chance we'll probably both pick Oregon to make the playoff again next year. They have that high a floor. As long as Dante Moore, that I think that'll be the bigger question, is maybe not whether he's going to bust or something like that, but what does it look like maybe if he doesn't quite produce at a top three Heisman level of Bo Nix and Dylan Gabriel, and he's more solid and they have to work more so with the team around them than it's been so quarterback centric the last 3 years. Can Dante do that? Can he live up to that same level, or is he going to play more B-plus football, and we got to work around him a little bit as such a young kid.
It's crazy they've had back-to-back Heisman Trophy finalists at quarterback in Bo Nix and Dylan Gabriel, and maybe they have another one. I mean, Dante Moore has got the talent.
Also possible, yeah. Absolutely.
He's got the talent, yeah.
Has, man.
And a year on the bench, too, behind learning the offense. Yeah, that kid could hit the ground running next year. The number two quarterback in the 2023 high school class. And the guy who's number one is also getting his first start, Dawn, and that is Texas at number one with Arch Manning finally leading the Longhorns. Texas 13-3 on the season, and they lose in the college football playoff semifinal for the second year in a row. But the Arch Manning era is officially beginning at Texas with Quinn Ewers going on to the NFL draft. Arch Manning looked really good in his limited time this year, an 88 PFF grade on 239 snaps. So enough of a sample size to be like, okay, this kid's really good. It's not just like a 50-snap sample size or anything like that. We saw a few games where he actually started for Texas this year. He's really talented, and then they brought back a lot of talent, especially defensively, for what was one of the best defenses in the country as well. So Texas is our early favorite right now to be the number one team in the country and the national title favorite. Texas checks in as our number one team.
The story is a Manning for a third generation. We have a Manning, and this one can run, which is crazy enough to think about. No, I mean, when we've seen him on the field, he's looked fantastic. There's no question. He can process the field from the pocket. He can take off running when he needs to. He can make every single throw. From what we've seen, he's everything that all the scouts said he is. And you know, that really shouldn't surprise us. And I think you mentioned it. You know, losing some pieces up front on the offensive line is big, right? They're probably not going to have the best offensive line in the country like they had this year. But C.J. Baxter coming back from injury, Jarrett Gibson at running back as well. Receivers are kind of losing some, but, you know, you still have, what, Ryan Wingo in there, and you've got some other young guys that can step up for him. And defensively, I think we've hit the point where – Texas is just going to be a house on defense every single year. Is that what we're getting at?
I think so.
Last year, maybe we thought, okay, it's a lot about, you know, Sweat and Murphy, and they stopped the run. And no, they got monsters. I mean, you look at what they have coming. Malik Muhammad, right? Colin Simmons.
He might be edge one going to next year.
He's an animal.
Yeah.
Anthony Hill at linebacker. I think, did you mention to me?
He might be the best linebacker.
You mentioned to me that Michael Taft's coming back at safety. Terrific player. I mean, they have got a core on defense that, you know, would it shock me if they were as good next year as they were this year on defense? That wouldn't shock me at all. With that level of talent, I think what that does is minimize the pressure on Arch to go out there and score 45 points all the time. And also, we have to remember offensively, that's still Steve Sarkisian.
Yes.
He's going to find ways to score points, even if there is a flaw or two maybe on his offense, and he's got Arch Manning. No, I think Texas, you look at the star power coming back, and you look at Arch's talent at quarterback. In a quarterback class that we're not entirely sure of yet, this group, and we've had some debates lately about what's our top 10 or 15 quarterbacks in the country going to look like next year. Kind of tough. You can make a lot of different orders of it. There's some really good players, but the fact that we would easily have Arch in that mix and possibly number one with him playing so few snaps in this offense tells you a lot about his talent.
I mean, he's the Heisman Trophy favorite right now, and he was a backup quarterback this year.
Yeah.
Like, everyone's like, no, he's going to – and listen, that was the kind of thing that kind of held Texas back this year was that – Ewers just was so inconsistent. And if you get – and the one thing with the Mannings, they're consistent. They are always – going to do their job out there, and I'm sure
Arch. They're Mannings. I mean, it's the thing I keep going back to, and I know it doesn't take the most analytical mind to figure this out, but I just sit here, I go, they have a Manning that can run. That's
the fact that they were putting in a Manning in red zone packages for his rushing ability. It was like, this is breaking my brain right now. Like, I don't understand what.
Yeah, and now this is what's going to be leading your team with a stacked roster. I mean, Texas – at this point, even moving to the SEC, they're here to stay.
Yep.
As national title contenders every single year.
And obviously, you lose some talented receivers. Isaiah Bond's going to the draft. Matthew Golden's going to the draft. Gunnar Helm's going to the draft as well. But you mentioned Ryan Wingo before. DeAndre Moore coming back for another year. That's a big one. Ryan Niblett as well for this team. They always recruit well there. Offensive line, you got to replace some pieces as well. But at the run game, you got Trey Wisner coming back for another year. We'll see if Jaden Blue. I don't think Jaden Blue is announced.
No, he's declared.
He declared?
For
okay.
The draft.
So Jaden Blue's gone. But you got Baxter coming back.
And
huge.
You know, a name we talked about all last offseason that didn't get a whole lot of run, Amari Nyblack at tight end, too, could be an option for him. So, no, Jaden Blue did declare for the draft, though. But think about it. To come back with the running game to a three of Baxter, Wisner, and Gibson.
Yeah. That's smart for him to get out of there.
That's insane. Yeah. I mean, they're still going to run the ball like crazy, even with Arch in there.
Yeah.
I mean, they've got pretty much, as long as they mature at wide receiver, they've got every tool at their disposal.
And C.J. Baxter, who suffered a season-ending injury preseason, he was a guy that he was a backup to Jonathan Brooks in his freshman year. C.J. Baxter was the number one running back coming out of high school into his freshman year. He was really good when he had to replace Jonathan Brooks, and he was a guy that we pointed out. It's like, this guy could become, listen, in a loaded running back year, C.J. Baxter could all of a sudden emerge as one of the best running backs in the country, then unfortunately suffered the season-ending injury. I think people are kind of forgetting about him right now. He could go into his, redshirt sophomore year next year and remind people that he is one of the best running backs in America and why he's the number one running back coming out of high school.
He could, their backfield could be a serious problem next year.
With Arch Manning running too.
Quinn and Quinn didn't add that element.
Quinn's
really not much of an option threat. That's going to be in with Arch. It's going to be so much fun to watch their offense.
Yeah. All right. So Texas checks in as our number one team in the country in our way too early top 25. Now, we still might update this top 25 ranking as the portal continues to go on. The spring portal opens up as well. We continue to get more declarations for the NFL draft, and we'll finalize that as well with these rosters. But it's an ever-changing process for our top 25 from now until week zero of the college football season. But wanted to give you guys a very, very early look at our top 25 teams heading into the 2025 season. As you could tell, we are going full steam ahead right now. Even though the college football season is over, we got so much content coming centered around the NFL draft. And as you saw right there, centered around the 2025 college football season, ranking every single player at every single position in the NFL draft and in college football returning next year, ranking the best cores in college football, like the receiving cores, offensive lines, ranking those as well, and ranking all the teams. Everything in college football. Subscribe to the channel so you don't miss that. All the NFL draft content, all the best college football content as well. Subscribe to the channel so you don't miss any of it. And thanks for watching for an entire 2024 college football season.